Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmuduhu ve nesalli ala Resulü'l Kerim. Amma bak. Elhamdülillah. Tonight is the 7th of May in the year 2018. Alhamdulillah, I spent the session last night mentioning various blessed reports showing how awesome a deed it is to acquire the knowledge of the sacred deen, and in particular highlighting the blessed angels alayhi salatu wasalam, i.e. their love for those who perform this blessed deen. So on the same theme, in Ibn Asakir, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 1-79, Hafiz Ibn Abd al-Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm 2-112, Qanz al-Umal, Volume 5, page 231, Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 4, page 642 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu, he once told Qumail ibn Ziyad, rahmatullah alayh, love for knowledge is a loan that will be repaid, i.e. by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge is authority for the scholar in this life, and also fond memories after his death, whilst the achievements of wealth disappear once the wealth is no more. So this is part of a very long report, but Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is giving some precious advice to one of his close students, whose name is Qumail ibn Ziyad rahmatullah alayh. But he mentioned a few very important things about knowledge. The first thing Amir al-Mu'mineen mentioned radiallahu anhu is that love for knowledge is a loan. Allah Ta'ala will repay it back. So what does this mean? So that this phrase is used in the Quran when Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, who will give a generous loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the companions understood this to mean sadaqah. If you give sadaqah in actual fact, you will get far more than what you put in. The same thing Sayyidina Ali said for the love of knowledge, because it's a loan. And Allah Ta'ala will graciously repay you back, meaning the rewards are immense, which I mentioned partially yesterday. The second thing he mentioned, knowledge earns authority for the scholar in this life and fond memories after his death. So when a person becomes a learned person, people need him. The people need him or her to live their lives according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even when they pass away, people have fond memories of them. Look how many years these respected shuyu that we often quote have passed away. Some passed away 500 years ago, 600, 700 years ago. If I was to ask you, name me another person who passed away 700 years ago, you'd be hard stretched even to mention your own family going back 700 years, let alone ulama. So this is another gift that Allah Ta'ala gives us. And the knowledge stays, but the wealth disappears when the wealth is no more. But knowledge remains. With regards to another distinction between knowledge and wealth, consider Hafiz ibn Qayyim's blessed words, rahmatullah alayh, in his Miftah Darul Sa'adah, the key to the blissful abode, page 179 of the English translation. So Hafiz ibn Qayyim said, rahmatullah alayh, the scholar calls people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using his knowledge, whereas the wealthy ones use his status and wealth to make people desire the world. Look at the difference. So Hafiz ibn Qayyim says, an alim, what is he calling you to? He's calling you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of all things. The one with wealth, what is he calling you to? Dunya. So what he's basically saying is, who really is benefiting? So note how they were looking at knowledge and looking at wealth. There's also very famous reports which mentions knowledge increases when you share it. Wealth decreases when you share it. Knowledge governs. Wealth needs to be governed. Look at all these beautiful things the scholars have mentioned. Meaning, It is knowledge which truly elevates you. It's not wealth. And this is why sadly you'll see people gearing towards wealth. Why? Because they think all izzat is there. In fact, the Prophet said in Nasa'i, authentic hadith, people will always turn to wealth as a status. People will always turn to wealth as a status, I ignorantly. And isn't that true? As our beloved Messenger said of his exalted self, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not revealed to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that I should gather wealth and be a merchant. Rather, He subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I be amongst those, and he recited Surah Al-Hijr, Surah 15, verse 98 to 99. Audhu billahi minash-shaytan rajim. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَأَبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Glorify and praise Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be from amongst those that prostrate themselves in admiration and worship Him until the certainty, i.e. This is recorded in Abu Na'im al-Hilya 2-131, Ibn Adi in his Al-Qamil 5-1897, Kanz al-Uman number 6724, Qurtubi in his Tafsir 10-64, Ad-Dur al-Mantur 4-109, Sharh al-Sunnah, Mishkat number 5286, and Wa'r al-Bayan, Fazail al-Sadaqah, page 528 of the English translation. Let's look at this. So what did our beloved Messenger say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He simply said, my Lord has not revealed to me that I should gather wealth. Now why is that such a foolish statement for this? This is what the people's life is all about now. I should bank account got more. Right? Yes, mashallah. Mashallah for what? Allah gonna benefit you. The Prophet said, Allah never revealed that to me. Gather wealth. So straight away, what a lesson for this. I wasn't sent to gather wealth. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, to be a merchant, I to get involved too much in these transactions. But he did reveal to me, and he recited the last verses of Surah Hijr, glorify, praise him, be amongst the prostrators, worship him until death. So what was the Prophet highlighting? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not get distracted with wealth. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi in Majmu Fatawa was asked about wealth. He goes, it's like the toilet. He goes, you have a need, you go there and then you come out. That's wealth. So imagine somebody goes, I need to go to the toilet. MashaAllah, brother, go there. Give him directions. And then he doesn't come out. So then you're thinking, has the angel of death entered the toilet? You knock on the door, brother, everything all right? He goes, yeah, I'm fine. You've been in there for half an hour, what's happening? I'm not coming out. Mm. Why are you coming out? This is a beautiful place. In fact, I'm going to stay here for the rest of my life. You call psychiatric department immediately. He's at a breakdown. Well, guess what? These are many of the Muslims today. They forgot the purpose of wealth. Wealth is a need. It fulfills a need. Even the kuffar say it pays the bills. Very good. But what do Muslims think about it? They forget if this is just a need. Their whole life is geared around their work. If you take work out of the non-Muslim equation, he drops dead. Because he loses purpose. Are we like this? We are so happy when we retire. Why? Because we realize, look, now we can focus more upon the things that are important. Non-Muslim, they fear the day of retirement. You see, purposeless, going on those cruises. Let's go on another cruise. Where to? No. Let's go on another cruise. Or they're working on the vegetable patch. Right? When you were managing director, go to the Ruda, then drop dead. In addition, it is through knowledge that one unlocks the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Bayhaqi 1-41, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih Al-Jami, number 6131. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La amala liman la niyata la. There is no good deed recorded for the one who has not any intention. وَلَا أَجْرَ لِمَنْ لَا حِسْبَةَ لَهُ. And there is no reward received by the person who has not any anticipation for it. What does this mean? So the first part of the hadith, two parts to the hadith. Sahih hadith al-Bayhaqi. The first part, without intention, there is no good deed. Famous. First hadith of Sahih Bukhari. Right? Deeds are judged according to intentions. You haven't got intention, there's no good deed for you. Makes sense. What was the second part of the hadith? وَلَا أَجْلَ لِمَنْ لَا حِسْبَةَ لَهُ. No reward by the person who has no anticipation for it. What does that mean? Simply put, one must therefore know the reward of a deed to be entitled to it. Have you understood? One must know the reward of a deed to be entitled to it. So for instance, you get a person and you ask him to do, you ask him to pray, two rakat nafl. So he does it. He has no idea what he's done. He does the two rakat nafl. Is he the same as the one who knows exactly what the deal is? Who knows the value of two rakat nafl? No, they're poles apart. The Prophet said, no reward by the person who's no anticipation. So what was he encouraging? Learn. Yesterday I talked about the reward of the halaqa. How many people know that? Right? And even if they did, for example, somebody walks in now, doesn't know, will he get the reward? No, because you got no anticipation for it. Once you know, you've unlocked the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Prophet was telling you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, on so many occasions, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in Bukhari and Muslim? With iman and ihtisab. How many times have you heard this? For instance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, all his previous sins are forgiven. Whoever stands on the night of Qadr, I to pray, with iman and ihtisab, all his previous sins are forgiven. So why did the Prophet keep mentioning two things? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iman and ihtisab. We know what iman is. What is ihtisab? It means you're anticipating the reward. How can you anticipate the reward if you don't know what the reward is? So let me ask you a question. If somebody does those deeds not knowing the reward, will he receive the reward? According to the Sahih Hadith, no. Because you're not anticipating it. Have you understood? Right? And who said that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what does that tell you? Knowledge is what unlocks deeds. But you must be careful. You must not say there's no reward. Have you understood? Right? He will get a reward. But it's not the reward which Allah Ta'ala promises, because he doesn't know. He's not anticipated this. He's offered a prayer. He'll get a reward for it. But he doesn't know the reward. How do you expect he's going to get the reward? Therefore, be eager to learn about deeds. That's why the ulama have written works about the fazail of deeds. Thus, how many of us are truly receiving the rewards for the innumerous deeds that we perform? To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our complaint. Think about that. Isn't that a tragedy? What about sharing knowledge? To share knowledge is priceless. In Bayhaqi, Al-Bidayah, Volume 5, page 243. Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 2, page 364 of the New English Translation. Abu Bakr Siddiq, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will assist whoever assists His deen. And it is indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will strengthen His deen. Part of a long report. So it's a relevant part. So what did the greatest of men after the Prophet say? Abu Bakr, radiyallahu. Allah the Almighty helps whoever helps his deen. So a person goes, well, how do you help the deen? You share the knowledge. You share the knowledge, Allah Ta'ala is going to help you. Don't we need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We mention this in the Quran, Surah Hud. What did Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam say to his people? وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala assists whoever assists his deen. Question, what if you're not assisting his deen? No, got nothing. You got no assistance. But then the Prophet Abu Bakr quickly added, in reality, Allah Ta'ala strengthens his deen, for he uses people to get this honor. Thus, which one of us is not in need of such essential and truly priceless divine care and assistance? Very beautiful narration. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Bayhaqi and Mishkat, the example of the one who has knowledge but doesn't share it is like the one who has a treasure but doesn't spend it. So imagine, I say, come on lads, I'm going to show you my the money I've been piling up under the floorboards. So you come to my house and I show you. So your instant response is going to be, mashallah, you're blessed. You've plenty of money you've saved. Yeah. Then you ask me, what are you going to do with it? So I go, I'm still going to save it. I'm not going to spend any of it. Now what do you think? Then you look at each other, you think, the guy's crazy. He's just saving and saving for the lads to eat the paper. We all agree he's crazy. Then why don't we think that this person is crazy? He acquires knowledge, doesn't share it. Is he crazy? Somebody goes, well, brother, in the day, he's a... Then you have to, again, what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? He goes, he's just the same as that person. He's got wealth, he's not spending it. So note, sharing knowledge unlocks the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's one of the greatest whispers of shaitan in this end? You hear it all the time. It's not our job. It's the job of the scholars. Have you heard that? Then you go to the scholars, is it your job? What do they say? It's everybody's job, brother. Who told you it's my job? And there you go, because people are just ignorant. And then for some reason, people mean that's true, because some guy told me that. He goes, no, it's not my job, brother. Don't you want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't you want to be called an intelligent person? Then he goes, yeah, but I'm not very eloquent. Well, who says you have to get a microphone out? I'll start speaking on a wooden box to people. Sharing knowledge can be done without even speaking. How? You can give them a CD. This. Share my knowledge. Alhamdulillah. Oh, brother, you know that website? Yeah, you know about that? Yeah, like, go on that one. Share my knowledge. And Allah has made it even more easy for you now. Imagine in the old days, how did they share knowledge? Could they do that? For them to share knowledge in the old days, it was basically this. I have to write something, pass it on to them. Or, you've got to sit down, I'm going to repeat everything. Now it's so easy, and we're not doing it. Think about that. So note all these things with regards to sacred knowledge. It is no wonder Hassan al-Basri said, Rahmatullah, Hafiz al-Khatib in his al-Faqih wa al-Mutafaqih, number 53. For me to learn an aspect of knowledge and then teach it to another Muslim is more beloved to me than having the whole world at my disposal to use in the path of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So what did he say? The great Hassan al-Basri. If I learn one thing and I share it with a Muslim, not a non-Muslim, this is tabligh, to a Muslim, like I'm doing now to you, this is more beloved to me, Hassan al-Basri, than if I have the whole world and I give it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did he say that? Because he knows, we don't know. If you think you're clever and he doesn't know what, then you've got a problem. You must realize they know things we don't know. What made him make that statement? The whole world, if you give it, how could that be greater than that? Well, you don't understand how important it is to share knowledge. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? In Ibn Majah, number 243, Hafiz Munziri in his Targheeb, number 120, states Hassan. Hafiz Busiri, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Misbah al-Zujajah 1-35, stated Da'if. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the noblest charity is for a Muslim to acquire some knowledge and then share it to his Muslim brother. Afdalu sadaqah. So somebody goes to you, brother, you should give sadaqah to you. And he goes, brother, I'm on dole. And he goes, why is he thinking sadaqah is money? He says, you could get the best sadaqah. He says, I just told you, brother, I haven't got money to spare. I'm just making ends meet. Brother, forget about wealth. Nothing to do with wealth. The best sadaqah is that you have knowledge, you share it with a Muslim brother. The Prophet said it. question. Is this something that's regular in our lives? You get people, I call them robots. Fajr, go home. Zohar, go home. Asr, go home. Maghrib, go home. Right? And you go, what's this? Right? He goes, oh, he's just drinking his pillars. Is he sharing knowledge? He doesn't even give salam, right? So there you go. After the sadaqah, what happened after the sadaqah? And not again, Muslim brothers. Why? Because charity starts at home. This is the saying of the English. Where does sadaqah start? At home. So our spiritual home are the Muslims. Have we got these qualities that we're giving the best sadaqah? So this is why there's a report on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Allah, this is in Bayhaqi and Mishkat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous of those who show generosity. Then I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm the most generous. Then the one who shares his knowledge, he is the most generous. Note again, nothing to do with money. And yeah, when somebody goes to you, sadaqah, we're just so bombarded by wealth. That's all we think about. Sadaqah, brother, sadaqah. Brother, oh, you put your hand in your pocket for brother. I'm asking you to share something with me. You put your hand in your pocket. I can buy some mercy from shops. I need some knowledge, spiritual food. Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, this is in Ibn al-Mubarak in his Zuhud number 30 with a weakness in the chain of transmission. Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, said, the believer is affable, does not quarrel or dispute. His goal is to spread the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is accepted, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is not, he still praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, what did he beautifully say? He goes, these are the qualities of the believer. So have you got these qualities? People like him. People just like to be with him. That's one quality, affable. He doesn't quarrel or dispute. He has no time for it. The debate takes place, he walks away. Doesn't walk towards it. Third, his main goal is to spread knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's his, if somebody goes describe him, he's always doing this. Then, fourth quality, if people accept it, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, I shared the knowledge, people have taken it. Alhamdulillah. If they don't take it, he still praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he's not bothered. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for people. So what is the core of the believer? The core of the believer, according to Hasan al-Basri, is he invites people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To his mercy, to his kindness, to his deen. Where are the Muslims? Sayyidina Hudhayfa ibn al-Yamman radiyallahu, he said, I fear for you the time of the living dead. So they asked, oh companion of the Prophet sallallahu, who are the living dead? He goes, those who do their duties, but they don't enjoy the good and forbid the evil. Because they're living dead. Zombies. And what's interesting about that description, they look like zombies, right? Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, right? Brother, what's going on? I'll see you Maghrib, right? Maghrib comes, I'll see you Isha, brother, right? Is that what Allah wants? But there's no soul, he's like a dead person. And Hudhayfa goes, living dead. Think about that, innit? And Hudhayfa also said, yet people will call them righteous people. Because he's a good person. Though he is not enjoying the good, forbidding the evil. How many good people are there in Dana? He's a good person. Why? He prays five times. According to Hudhayfa, he's a zombie. Right? But then you want to hurt the guy's feelings. But then you quietly ask, does he do any doubt? No, that's called a job. MashaAllah. The renowned Muhaddith Hafiz Ibn Hibban, in his work, Rawda al-Uqala, وَالنُّزْحَ الْفُضَلَىٰ The Gardens of the Wise and the Meadows of the Virtues, page 24 of the English translation, he beautifully said, I have never seen someone miserly with their knowledge, except that they then did not benefit from it. Just like how the underground water deposits are not utilized unless they gush out from the ground. Or red gold is extracted from its mine. Or a precious pearl until it is removed from the ocean. Likewise, knowledge is not of benefit as long as it is hidden away and not propagated or utilized. So let's look at this beautiful clarification. So who is the Shaykh? Hafiz Ibn Hibban. He was a Muhaddith. He was a Pathan. So I'm related to him, mashallah, right, from Afghanistan. He wrote many works, famous work, his Sahih Al-Mujrihun. He wrote many, many works on Hadith. He wrote a work about character. It's called Rawda Al-Uqala Wal-Nuzha Al-Fudala, the gardens of the wise and the meadows of the virtuous. In there, what did he say? He goes, this person, he's speaking from experience, he goes, he's the most bakhil, miser. He's got knowledge, but he doesn't share it. Then he said, I noticed something about these people. They don't benefit from their knowledge. Look how interesting that is. That's the insight of a sheikh. He goes, they may have it there, but he goes, they're not benefiting. And I noticed, because they're not sharing. As if Allah Ta'ala was no benefit, they're not sharing it. Then he said, look how beautiful. Just like underwater, the ground, the water under the ground does not benefit until it gets to the surface. It's no good saying to a person in the desert, this water, brother, where? Mile down there. Oh, what did you tell me that for, right? It's only beneficial, it'll save my life if you get it to the top. That's the example of the one whose knowledge doesn't share it. He will not benefit. Or like gold, where does gold come from? Mines. Or pearls from the ocean. Knowledge, when it's hidden, not propagated, it doesn't benefit. Said Ibn Hibban. Why do you think he wrote all these words? The way, look, 1,000 years ago, he uttered these statements. Are we benefiting from it? Indeed, one should not shirk away from this responsibility using all the excuses under the sun. Consider the following humorous report. So this is a very interesting, very funny report as well. But there's a lesson in it. It's not just for a joke. Recorded by Hafiz Ibn Abd Rabbih, rahmatullah alayh, in his Al-Iqd Al-Farid, volume 4, page 201. So he mentions, one Friday, Abu Al-Anbas, a scholar, he climbed the pulpit, Jummah. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he started to shake because he was nervous. Mm-hmm. He was not a public speaker. He thereupon asked the huge congregation, do you know what I intend speaking to you about? Do you know why I have climbed the pulpit? All the congregation said, no, Sheikh, we don't know what you are going to talk about. He responded, then what benefit is there for me in speaking to you now then? He then stepped down. Next slide. He again climbs the pulpit. He starts shaking again. He asked the congregation, do you know what I intend speaking to you about today? This time they thought, don't say no. He goes, yes. Because they wanted him to speak. The sheikh goes, then what need is there for me to lecture you on something you already know? He stepped down. On the third Friday, he climbs the pulpit. He asks the same question. So this time they're looking at each other. So some of them replied, we know what you're going to talk about. Others said, we don't. The sheikh replied, in that case, those who know should tell those who don't know. He thereupon stepped down once more. So this is a report. So why is this mentioned by the ulama? Did it really happen? Not a hadith, but don't worry about it. Right? But what's the lesson? One will always have an excuse in which not to perform this vital deed. Those, don't let shaitan deceive you. This is the lesson. Not just you laugh. I'm not here to tell you jokes. Right? What's the lesson? Everybody has excuse. Brother, you should give me a doubt. Oh, brother, what it is, I'm not really good at talking. But when you were debating last night, you was like a lion. What happened there? Oh, brother, that's why I'm strong in that. Look how interesting. Don't come out with excuses. If you can't do it, you just say, Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq. I'll try to somehow share the knowledge I've got. I don't need to speak, for God's sake. This scholar, he was nervous. Some people, they can't speak publicly. I know ulama like this. They got so much knowledge, but they can't speak, because we're not public speakers. We can do it in classroom, but we can't do public speak. And then you get people with no knowledge, they can talk for Queen and Country. You can get somebody off the street, a lot of people off the street, don't know much about Islam, but if you talk about Islam, they'll talk about Islam. And you get, I know Alims who can't. So that's, you know, there's something there. Whatever the case, the Alims make avenues for themselves. You notice, they may not be there in the limelight, but they're making sure the knowledge is being spread, which they've been blessed with. So all I talked again about today was sacred knowledge. So note, we should strive our utmost to acquire the knowledge, because look at the energy we put into acquiring wealth. At least be just. At first, what do you mean just? The same energy you use to acquire wealth, at least use the same energy to acquire knowledge. That's just. Can't even do that. Why? Because wealth is more important. And I've explained today, wealth is not more important. Knowledge is more important. This is the true treasure which Allah Ta'ala wants to give to mankind and the jinn. And I've talked also about sharing the knowledge. Very important to share the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من شرك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم